Emmanuel, God with us. So thankful today that we can count on our God and that He is with us and He never leaves us or forsakes us. Well, good morning and welcome to Cross Lanes Bible Church. Welcome to those watching online. So my question is this: how is the Christmas season going so far? How's it going? Have you finished your shopping? Have you finished your wrapping? Are your decorations all up? Well, good. Most of you are nodding yes. If you weren't, you don't have a lot of time. Do you realize exactly 2 weeks from now is Christmas Eve? 2 weeks from this moment will be Christmas Eve. And so time is passing very, very quickly. So I trust you're enjoying this time of the year, being blessed and being a blessing. Open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 4 this morning. Galatians chapter 4. The book of Galatians was written by the Apostle Paul around A.D. 50. Galatians has been called the Magna Carta of spiritual liberty. It's also been called the Christian's Declaration of Independence. Church historians have said of the book of Galatians that it was the cornerstone of the Protestant Reformation. And the reason historians say that is because its teachings of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone became the dominant preaching theme of the Reformers. Men like Luther, who preached the gospel clearly and forcefully, the gospel of grace, through Jesus Christ. The book of Galatians was written to the church at Galatia to correct doctrinal error. And that error was namely this. He wanted them to know that justification is always, always by God's grace alone and never by following the Mosaic law. And so follow as I read Galatians chapter 4 beginning in verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that on this cold, rainy day, we can gather together, as you've commanded us to do in your word, to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to gather together to pray, to gather together to study the Word of God. And so, Lord, today I pray, I ask from my heart that you would bless us. Bless everyone who is here today. Lord, may they leave a little closer to you. May we leave this place with a joy in our heart because Christ has come. And Lord, I pray for those who aren't with us that are going through difficult times this morning. Lord, I pray especially for the Clark family. Lord, on Friday, Mark had knee surgery and he's recovering from that. But then later that evening, Jeannie Clark fell and broke her hip and had emergency surgery yesterday. And we pray for Jeannie that she would heal and you would strengthen her and she'd soon be able to be up and around again. Lord, Cass Clark has a procedure tomorrow at the hospital. I pray you'd be with him. Lord, just wrap your arms of love around this family, encourage them, and bring healing. Lord, we know there are others that would love to be here today, but they simply can't. Lord, I was speaking with Rich Rice this past week, and Lord, Becky continues to struggle after her broken femur. of this past summer, and they just aren't able to come, and they'd love to be here. I pray you'd bless Rich and Becky this morning. And Lord, I could go through a long list of people that can't be here because of illness, because of surgeries, because of physical difficulties. Lord, as the great physician, touch them and encourage them and bless them. Lord, I pray for our country today, for our president, for Congress, for those who sit as judges in our land. May they all make wise and good decisions. I pray for the nation of Israel as they defend themselves against terrorists. I pray, Lord, that as a church in this Christmas season especially, Lord, we would come together and we'd sense your presence and we'd worship the newborn King, Jesus, who is our Savior and Lord. And so, Father, do what I cannot do right now. I cannot make the Holy Spirit of God teach us and minister to us. But, Lord, you can do that. And so, Father, send your Spirit, minister to us. Lord, I pray that you would bless our time in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Although not necessarily a traditional Christmas passage, the verses before us point to the foundation of Christmas. The foundation of Christmas is that Jesus came, and he came at just the right time. And so I'm calling the message today because of Christmas. Because of Christmas, and I want to look at from this passage three things that we can celebrate. Three things that should cause us to be excited about Christmas. Because of Christmas. First of all, because of Christmas, we are no longer slaves. We are no longer slaves. It says in verse 1, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all." In verses 1 and 2, we find the illustration that Paul gives us about Christ coming to earth and the reason he came. And the illustration is this. There was a time, verse 2, that we were under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. And so the illustration is this. In Roman society, a child was kept under a guardian until he became a man. Usually around 15 or 16, he became a man. And it says that although he is an heir, he is treated like a slave as a child. And he's under guardians and stewards. Now, it's interesting, the Greek word here for guardians and stewards is not that of a teacher. The Greek word for teacher is didaskalos, but what these words, guardians and stewards, the word used is a pedagogos, which is a custodian. Not necessarily someone trying to impart knowledge, but someone who would be running that child's life in the place of his parents. A strict disciplinarian. Someone who ran the children's life in many families in Roman society, especially the more wealthy families, until that child became a man. In Roman society, manhood was officially bestowed by one person. Manhood was bestowed upon a boy by his father, and it was done in a special ceremony. The Romans called it toga virilis. Toga virilis. And when that ceremony took place, and a piece of clothing was placed upon that child at that ceremony, he was given the full rights and privileges of manhood. The Jews called their ceremony, and still do, bar mitzvah. Bar mitzvah, when a boy is recognized as a man and a special ceremony takes place. And so in these first couple verses of Galatians chapter 4, Paul is trying to make a point with an illustration. And he's saying that we are under the law, just like a child is physically in society. We are under the law spiritually. We are spiritually in bondage. And when we are in that bondage of the law, there is no hope of salvation, and there's no hope of living a life of freedom in Christ. And so, because of Christmas, we are no longer slaves, and Paul illustrates that. But then in verse 3, he makes the comparison that I've started to get to. Verse 3 says, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. What Paul is saying is this. He gives the illustration and then he makes the application or the comparison. He says this, listen up. In our sinful condition, under sin, we are kept under the bondage, under the chains of the law. We are just like children under a guardian. And he mentions we are chained, we are in bondage under the elements of the world. You say, Pastor, what's that, the elements of the world? The simplest way to put it would be this, the ABCs of human religion. When we are without Christ, when we are under the bondage of the law, we are under the elements of the world, the ABCs of human religion. What's that? Worldly philosophies, worldly traditions, worldly practices. The bondage of the world, the elements of the world are fleshly humanism. And all of these things are authored by Satan. He is the author of the elements of the world. He is the author of the things that keep us in bondage to the world. And what Paul is saying is this, in our sinful condition, under the law, we are powerless. We are powerless to break our bondage. We are powerless in our own strength to break our bondage to sin and to self and to Satan. And what he is saying there, and what he is leading up to is this, it's going to take something greater. It's going to take something bigger than ourselves. It's going to take something greater than the law to break us from the bondage. It will take grace. It will take grace. The grace of God. In fact, in the chapter before in Galatians 3:24, the Bible says the law was simply our tutor to bring us to that place of faith in the sent one, Jesus Christ. And so we can rejoice today at Christmas time. We can be happy. We can give thanks because we are no longer slaves, but also because of Christmas, we are now sons. You see, the great exchange. We exchange slavery. Slavery to the law. Slavery to, slavery to sin for sonship. Sons of God. Let's look at verse 4. But. Okay, yes. We've been under the law. Yes, we've had no hope. But. When the fullness of the time had come. And folks, this is when we get to the heart of Christmas. But when the fullness of the time had come. Folks, Jesus came, first of all, at the perfect time. At the perfect time, when the fullness of the time had come. That means when the exact time that a sovereign God declared it. Jesus came at Christmas. The perfect time. You say, why would you say it's the perfect time, Pastor? Why would you say that? Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you. Why would you say that, Pastor? Because, hey, man, if Jesus came today, it would have been on the internet, you know? It would have been on satellite television and cable TV, and it would have been much more easier to spread the good news that Jesus had come. Well, at this time, the perfect time was because that's when God ordained it. So let's just cut to the chase. But it was a special time in the time of the world when Jesus came. First of all, Jesus, I believe, came at the right time religiously. Here's what was going on when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. The Greek and the Roman gods, who had been so powerful in the lives of Gentiles, we're losing the interest of the people. These false gods were ineffective. These false gods were disappointing. But right now, as the people were losing their faith in these false gods, at the same time, the canon of Scripture was being completed. And now, people, the common people, began to have access to the Bible, access to the Scriptures. So it was the right time religiously because the Bible was becoming available. Secondly, Jesus came at the right time culturally, and it goes hand in hand with what I just said about religiously. You see, Greek was the common language in the Roman Empire at this time. Koine Greek. That was the spoken language. That was the written language. And the New Testament would be written in Greek. Most of your New Testament, almost every word in your New Testament, was originally written in the Greek language. And so people across the Roman Empire now could begin to read and understand the New Testament for themselves as it was being translated into Greek. And then Jesus came at the right time politically. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Judea, that was in the time of the Pax Romana, or the Peace of Rome. And so it was a very relatively peaceful time when Jesus was born. Another thing that was happening politically is that the Roman Empire was forging ahead with building some great roads, roadways, highway system. And what this highway system did, it connected people in these villages all around Rome, the Roman Empire. And so people could move about. They were able to travel. They were more mobile. And with this came a flourishing economy. And so you have roads being built and people traveling and the economy growing. And it was a wonderful time for Jesus to be born and to have the message of the gospel spread across the world as we knew it at that time. And so, folks, when it says in verse 4, when the fullness of the time had come, that meant at just the right time. The time that God had ordained. The right time religiously, culturally, and politically. And this would lead to the propagation of the gospel around the world at that time. And so basically what we're saying is that Christmas, when Jesus came 2,000 years ago, it was the perfect time. Historically, but more importantly, sovereignly, in the plan of God. We are now sons. Jesus came at the perfect time, and He came in the perfect way. The perfect way. Verse 4 goes on and says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law. God sent forth His Son. That was the way of salvation. That was the perfect way. God had to send forth His Son, just as in the Roman culture, in the Jewish culture, the father called a boy, a man in divinity. God the Father called upon His Son to become man, to come to earth. And it says, God sent forth His Son. That speaks of the deity of Jesus. God gave us His Son. That's deity. But in the same verse, we find the humanity of Jesus. God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law. I think it's incredible that Jesus was 100% God. He was 100% man. Fully God, fully man on this earth, and Jesus as God had the power of salvation. No one else ever has had that power or ever will have that power. As God, Jesus had the power of salvation, but Jesus as man had the privilege of substitution. Because He was God, He could save. Because He was man, He gave His life as the substitute upon the cross of Calvary for you and for me. And so Jesus came as God in flesh, and He willingly laid down His life in the will of God. He died on that cross, and He conquered the power of the law. It says He was born of a woman born under the law. Jesus conquered the law when He died on the cross, when He was buried, when He rose again from the grave. The God-man, God sent His Son. And it's interesting, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law to do what? Verse 5, to redeem those who are under the law. You've heard me say this before, the word redeem simply means to buy back. To buy back. We were created in the image of God. We are God's creation, and yet we have lived under the curse of the law, under the curse of sin, and we had lived under that curse for thousands of years, and then God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, what? To buy us back. To redeem us. To buy us back from the slave market of sin. To make us free from the law. The law condemns us to hell because of our sin, but grace, the grace of God in Jesus, buys us back. He redeems us. Jesus is our Redeemer. He redeems us who are under the law. But that's not all. Verse 5, to redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Not just to redeem, but to adopt. To adopt. The word adoption in this verse literally means to place as an adult son. To place as an adult son. Do you see the reason for the illustration in verse 1? The Bible says in verse 1 in Galatians that an heir, someone who will someday have riches and glory because they're an heir to a rich person, that heir, while they are under the law, while they are under bondage, they have none of that. But then, they are said to be sons by the Father. The Father says, you are now an adult. You are a son. What this is saying, the adoption of sons is this. When we trust Christ as Savior, we are adopted into His family. We are placed, not as babies, not as children, but as sons, full-grown adult children, we are placed into His family, and that means that we have the full rights and privileges as children of the King. Rights and privileges. We're no longer under the law. We're no longer under those harsh tutors, those harsh custodians. But we have, by God's grace, through His Son, we have redemption. We are adopted as a child of the King with full rights and privileges. And then it goes on in verse 6 to say this. And because you are sons, adopted with the full privileges of an adult son into the family of God, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. God sent His Spirit. God sent His Spirit. The confirmation of redemption and adoption is by the indwelling Holy Spirit. The confirmation is not by abiding by man-made rules and regulations. The confirmation is the Spirit of God within us, ministering to us. And when the Spirit of God is at work in our lives as full-grown children of the King of Kings, then we will respond in love. We will respond in excitement, in worship. We will respond by saying, Abba, Father. Daddy, Papa, Abba, Father. It is a term of endearment as an intimate relationship between me, who has been redeemed and adopted in the family of God and my Heavenly Father. Through Jesus, He is my Abba, Father. Folks, this is what the law does. The law is fleshly effort with no inward power. The law is fleshly effort with no inward power. The Spirit is inward power with no fleshly effort. The Spirit of God energizes us when we are redeemed by Christ, when we are His Son. And so, beloved, praise God at Christmas time. Thank God at Christmas time we are no longer slaves, we are now sons. And thirdly, because of Christmas, we are inheritors of salvation. We are inheritors of salvation. Verse 7 says this, therefore, that means since we have been redeemed. No, go back. Since Jesus came in the fullness of time. Since Jesus came and since He has redeemed us and adopted us, therefore, you are no longer a slave but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. I want you to see two things about the inheritance we have as those saved by God's grace. First of all, the curse has been removed. The curse is removed. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. If you are saved by the grace of God today, if there has been a time in your life when you recognized you were a sinner in need of a Savior, and you cried out in saving faith and accepted the grace of God in salvation, and you were saved, then the curse of the law has been removed. We are no longer slaves, but now we are free from the law. Free from the law. Free from the law. The curse of the law has been removed, and the grace of God has been bestowed. Again, in exchange. The curse removed, His grace bestowed. Through salvation, inheritors of salvation. The curse removed, and then the riches bestowed. If a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Beloved, as believers, understand this. Although we live in a sin-cursed world, although it seems like everything and everybody is against us at times, and it does seem that way, we're rich. You know you're a rich man, you're a rich woman if you're here today and know Christ. Say, Pastor, you don't see my bank account. No, but I know that we are rich. We are rich, the Bible tells us. We are heirs of God through Jesus Christ. As believers, we are children of the King. As believers, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. We are rich in Christ. Little children, rejoice. You are a child of the King. Rejoice, you're a child of the King. Rejoice, you're a child of the King. Lift your head up high and rejoice. Because what? You're a child of the King. As believers, we are free through grace. We're cleansed from sin. We can have peace in our heart. We can have wisdom in decisions. We can have help in trials. We can have joy on this earth. And we can look forward to an eternity in heaven as heirs of God and joint heirs of Jesus. Folks, free at last. Free at last. Liberated through Christ. John Newton lived in London in the 1700s. His father was a sea captain, a very rough, vulgar, ungodly man. His mother, on the other hand, was a godly woman, but his mother died when he was only 7 years of age. He didn't like living with his father, and John didn't like the life he was living. So at age 11, he ran away from home, and John Newton became a sailor. On that ship, as a young boy with all those sailors, he was treated cruelly. He was abused in unthinkable ways. He went through a very, very, very rough childhood. But as an adult, he became the captain of his own ship, and it was a slave ship. and he would pick up slaves in Africa and bring them on his ship to England. He was so bitter from his upbringing, so bitter from the life he had endured as a child, that he was just a very cruel, cruel man. He was cruel toward the people on the ship, his own crew, and he was very cruel towards the slaves on his ships. He was so hated by the other sailors who sailed under him that one time a sailor hated him so much that he took a harpoon and harpooned him in the hip. John Newton almost died from that experience. He almost died, but in his dying time, when he was about to give up the ghost and died, he cried out to God and asked for His mercy and His grace. And God not only saved him physically, but God saved his soul. After all these terrible experiences as a boy and after being such a cruel man, the change was so different in his life that he later put on a wall in his home these words from Deuteronomy 15:15. "And thou shalt remember that thou wast a slave in Egypt, and the Lord God redeemed thee." And thou shalt remember, folks, never forget. Thou shalt remember that thou wast a slave in Egypt, and we, without Christ, were slaves under the bondage of the law. And the Lord God redeemed thee. God alone redeemed. He redeems through His Son, Jesus. And that, my friends, is what Christmas is all about. And so, beloved, at Christmas, let's remember afresh, first of all, that as believers, if you know Christ today, you are no longer a slave. Praise God. Secondly, that as a believer, as believers, we are now sons. Sons through redemption. Sons through adoption. And as believers, we must remember that we are heirs of salvation. We are heirs walking in this sin-cursed world to spread the Christmas story, to tell the gospel, and heirs who someday will see that all fulfilled in the presence of our Lord. Because of Christmas, we are children of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I am so grateful for the Word of God. Lord, I've said this before, but as believers, we are blessed with the Word of God and the Spirit of God to teach us. And really, that should be enough for the believer. You give us Your Word, and You give us Your Spirit to teach us and to lead us and to convict us when we sin or do wrong. So, Lord, we're grateful for the book of Galatians written by the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, by Paul who was once Saul of Tarsus, by Paul who was under bondage to the law and expected everybody to be under bondage to the law, but then who experienced the babe sent at Christmas on the road to Damascus and was transformed by the Spirit of God. Father, I'm thankful for this passage. I'm thankful for the truth. I'm thankful that at just the right time, in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman. And so, Lord, today, if we are still under the yoke of the law, trying to merit salvation, trying to earn Your grace, Lord, we can't do that. We simply need to surrender to Your matchless grace and be saved through faith in Christ. And Lord, if we are believers, help us to live like we're children of the King and give You all the praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Just before we sing some more songs, I want to talk to folks here, talk to some folks that are watching online. My question is this: are you still in bondage? Are you still under the yoke of the law? Are you thinking, I just have to be able to do something more? I have to do something that'll earn me eternal life or a place in heaven? No. That's the bondage of the law. That's the bondage of sin. Look to the Lamb. Look to the Lamb who came on that first Christmas morning at just the right time, at God's ordained time. You can be today a child of the King through grace by faith in Jesus Christ. And then to all who know the Lord, who are believers, we are free from the curse of the law. Let's live like it. Let's live like we're children of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because we are.